with me. I'm okay with it. So the scripture that I'll be reading from is found in Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I've heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I've come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, and I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He said, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me, please? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, for those of you who may not know me, you probably all know me, but it's just part of the thing. My name is Valerie Sewell, and we have been church members here for 6 years. The we being my husband, Austin, and I, and our four children, Nolan, Shelby, Gillis, and Fannin. I am the third oldest of six children, and I grew up as most middle children do, trying not to cause trouble. I spent most of my childhood, or I was accustomed to going with the flow and not having many strong opinions on anything, really. I spent most of my childhood in church, attended Sunday school regularly. I served as an acolyte, and I completed confirmation classes. I was a good Methodist. I was baptized at the age of 12, and it was actually one day I remember not crying when I probably should have been. I went on to attend church activities in high school, and I served in leadership positions in our youth group. And when I moved away to go to college and get married, church and God were not really big parts of my life anymore, because I thought I had done enough already to be a good person. That was when I was younger. I was a good person, and I knew who God was, and that seemed like enough for me. After getting my degree in education, I went on to be a teacher and then a mom. And this was really the only career plan I'd ever had for myself, a teacher and a mom. And these are great things. And all the women in my life had been one or both for a lifetime, and they were excellent examples. But I had never been a big dreamer for myself, and I felt like I was really living the only life that God had ever planned for me. When we moved to Decatur and joined this church, I continued to work as a wife and mother inside the home. We had two young children by this time, and we suddenly realized, kind of in a panic, that our kids needed to hear about God from us, from family, and from church. So I naturally found ways to be involved here, which meant working with kids. I taught Sunday school, vacation Bible school. I even volunteered to give a children's sermon when needed, and helping in these ways seemed like the natural way to be involved, since I already knew how to work with kids. I didn't think much of it at the time. I was just trying to do what young moms do. But when our church was without a children's director, people kept suggesting, insisting that I should do that job. I was flattered by the support, but I felt way too busy. We had three kids by then, and I felt extremely unqualified. And while I declined these suggestions over and over, an eternal struggle between me and God was underway. After 6 months of this struggle, I gave my usual prepared response back to God. I don't know how to do that job. But this time, I heard God give this reply. But I'll help you. I'm pretty sure that God had been saying this to me the whole time, but it was the first time I actually heard it. I was hired for the position within days, and I spent the next 2 years experiencing firsthand the help that God had in store for me. God showed me relentlessly how easy things can be when we rely on God's strength and allow God to work through us. During a routine children's sermon, I felt God was speaking to me again, but this time saying something new. "You're doing a great job, Val, but I have bigger things planned for you." This overwhelming thought stayed with me for the following months, even after I resigned from my position here. And it was the first time in my life that I actually was able to dream big things for myself. I visualized myself as a school principal, a doctor, a pharmacist, a superintendent, and even ordained pastor. What? Me? No way. But the idea would not go away. And within the next year, I began taking steps to begin the candidacy process to become ordained in ministry. Now, this is something I definitely do not know how to do, but I have faith that God will provide opportunities for me to learn how, which is why I'm standing here today. You are participating in my learning, so thank you for being guinea pigs. Sorry. In addition to today's hands-on experience, I'm also working to complete my application to Bright Divinity School at TCU, and I hope to attend next fall. And also in December, I will be interviewed by the District Committee on Ministry to hopefully become a certified candidate for ministry in the United Methodist Church. So I thank you, all of you, for the opportunity to learn and grow as a part of your church family. And today, as Fred said, we are celebrating Laity Sunday as a gift to our hardworking pastor, and also as a chance to show our gifts as lay people. We are all lay people, you and I. And the word comes from laity, which in Greek means lykos, meaning of the people. And the definition of a layperson, in case you wanted to know, is, according to the Oxford Dictionary, a non-ordained member of a church or a person without professional or specialized knowledge in a particular subject. Synonyms could be parishioner, non-expert, amateur, or novice. So for those of us who have felt that any of these words describe us, particularly in church, today is our day. God calls people of all experience levels and values all gifts equally. We sometimes try to put a value system on acts of service or the gifts that we have, thinking that what we have to offer is just too small. I just teach Sunday school. I just read scripture. Just serving on that committee. Just helping with the youth. Just buying lunch for a friend. But we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose, as it says in Romans 8:28. All things, not some things, or the well-recognized things, or the expertly prepared things. God uses all things to work together for good when we are called according to his purpose. There is no way to predict which moments God will choose to get our attention, to pull us in closer, to embrace us and show us the plan for our lives. But we have faith that each step that we take, each event we participate in, each activity we take part in is an opportunity to be used by God, whether we feel prepared or not. The Bible, of course, is full of instances where God calls the inexperienced. In Exodus 3:9-12, as I was just reading, God speaks to Moses and says, "The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppressed them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" God said, "I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." Have you ever found yourself responding to God as Moses did? Me? Who am I? I'm just, or I don't know how to. We doubt ourselves just as Moses did. And without hesitation, God reassuringly responds to Moses, "I will be with you. I will be with you." I hope that we hear that today. God tells us, "I will be with you." And the other interesting word, when. God tells Moses, when you have brought the people out of Egypt. Not if, or should you choose to accept, or hopefully you'll feel confident enough, but when you have brought the people out of Egypt. God already knew Moses could do it, and God knows we can do it, but do we believe in ourselves? Or imagine Mary being visited by Gabriel, the angel. In Luke chapter 1, he tells her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus." She is confused, unsure, perplexed. "How can this be?" she replies. Gabriel reassures her, "Nothing will be impossible with God." And then Mary answers, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Mary accepts her calling, and she sees it as an opportunity, not a burden, which it surely must have been. And how many times do we get asked to do something and see it as a hassle or a burden? Why not lean into God through these opportunities? We have a God that aches for more time with us, more visits, more love, more gratitude. And yes, we are busy, but do the things that we fill our time with renew our spirit and soul like God does? If we change our outlook to see God's call as an opportunity to grow in love, grace, and faithfulness, then the whole experience becomes a blessing to us, to others, and to God. And then there were all of Jesus' disciples. Many of them, hardworking fishermen with no training in public speaking or event organizing. The first disciple was called Andrew, the quieter and lesser known brother of Peter. He spent his life fishing with his brother and father until he met John the Baptist. He became a disciple of John's, wanting to know all that he could about the God that John spoke of and this Messiah who was to come. And as soon as he met Jesus, he followed after him. In John 1:39, it says that they came and saw where Jesus was staying, and they remained with him that day. And then he went as soon as he could to tell Peter that he had found the Messiah. This is not a fad like finding Pokemon or the golden ticket or the next way to lose 20 pounds. Andrew had the passion of one who had found the one. He had found something amazing. He had every right to be overwhelmed or just wait for someone else to confirm his thoughts or just to keep the gift for himself. But Andrew found his brother and told him too. He seized the opportunity with passion, and then the disciples began to tell the world of Jesus. Not only does God call us to step out in faith when we may feel unqualified, God also challenges us to have some fun in the process. The thing we have to remember is that God knows us better than anyone. So God knows what will make our hearts soar, what will bring us joyful laughing, and what we are really put on this earth to do. And for some reason, we think that being called to follow God's will is stuffy, serious, and unfulfilling business. And I lump myself into this thought category. It was not a joyful response when I first felt called to ministry. But why do we want to keep ourselves from experiencing the joy that God has for us? Why do we want to avoid taking part in the working together of all things for good for those who are called according to God's purpose? There are many reasons we do this, but most of them stem from trying to avoid failure. All I could think about while preparing for this right now was, what if I mess up? What if I cry? Because I'm a crier. What if I talk too fast? What if I don't sound smart enough? And then they all replayed a million more times. But God reminded me, stop. Those are not God's thoughts of me. Those are my own negative creations. And when I think that way, I am showing doubt in what God has already told me that I can do. So God had to thump me on the head and say, "Hello, McFly. This is supposed to be much more fun. Lighten up, Val." It's because we often take ourselves way too seriously, and we miss out on gloriously fun opportunities. God wants us to enjoy a life in Christ, to laugh, feel joy, and even be silly. God knows how much fun it is when we trust in God's strength and help, because suddenly when we do, hard things become so easy. And before we know it, we're enjoying ourselves. God wants us to know how it feels to soar on the wings of an eagle. The best example I can share of this feeling happened right down there in this room a few years ago. I was giving a routine children's sermon. I did it every month, as most of you know. Prayed beforehand, God, speak to me, give me the words that I need. I was nervous, probably sweating, heart is racing. And as I start speaking, I realize all of the kids are looking at me and listening. That never happens. And then I realize they're paying attention and laughing at my jokes, which sometimes happens. My jokes are usually corny. So I continue to talk, and then I realize that I didn't have to think anymore. It just sort of spilled out. And I remember feeling like I sort of floated up above and got to watch the fun. And it was so easy. It was exhilarating. It was fun. And I never wanted to stop. It's like when I used to roller skate as a kid on my patio for hours into the dark. No, Mom, I'm not ready to go in. It was that fun and easy. And in that moment of talking to the kids, I realized so clearly that God was helping me. God wants to help us, especially when we feel unqualified. And you know, as well as I do, that opportunities await us. Are we going to ignore our lack of qualifications and step out in faith? I hope we do. And who knows, we might even end up enjoying ourselves. Amen.